Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let's go around the NFL in the Loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Texans, Chargers, Saturday night. Or afternoon, I guess. Was it 3:25?
Yeah.
Mid-afternoon.
Into the evening.
But on the West Coast, afternoons.
I was about to say, it'll be like noon for or almost
basically,
afternoon.
Yeah.
So. You get what I'm trying to say. It's Christmas Eve.
We got you, Paul.
So, it's a rematch of a playoff game last year. And for those who remember, Texans Chargers had a final score that was not a reflection of how the game actually went down. Because it took the Texans a while to pull away. They did eventually win 32-12, but it took until C.J. Stroud dropped a snap, rolled to his right, and threw the ball to Xavier Hutchinson for a big play for the Texans to really pull away. They pulled away in the second half, but it was 10-6 at halftime, and things weren't looking so great, and I think there was a sense of collective dread at NRG Stadium. As far as the Chargers go, it was a rough outing for Justin Herbert. He was finally in the playoffs. He threw 4 interceptions in the game. He was 14 of 32 over the course of that game. He was asked about last year's performance against the Texans and had this to say, quote, "It was one of those things that you continue to think about. No one felt worse than I did after that game, and I think it's important to continue to move forward and realize that it's what happened. It would be crazy of me to deny the truth of what happened and to live in this reality where if I tried to block it out, I don't think that's doing any good. I hope that I have improved since that Saturday last year. Those are games that, as hard as they are to watch, you got to learn from them." The Chargers made the playoffs on Monday when the Colts lost to the 49ers. So now the last playoff spot in the AFC is between the Texans and Colts. It's an uphill battle for the Colts to actually get there, especially with a 44-year-old grandpa under center.
It's going to be tough for them at this point.
Right.
It is.
For the Chargers, this is a very interesting game. On one hand, they don't need to win this. There is certainly an avenue where they could theoretically win the AFC West over the Denver Broncos, but they're going to need, I think, to give them some help. And I don't know if that help has come in the last couple of weeks. So the Broncos did look mortal against the Jaguars on Sunday. I'm wondering how important this game is for the Chargers. On one hand, yeah, they're in the playoffs. It's going to be tough for them to win the division. On the other hand, the Texans punked them last year, Chris, in the playoffs.
For the Chargers, I believe, yes, this game is super important because, like you just said, Paul, they can't. Yes, they got a playoff berth. They're in either way. Doesn't matter. They can lose these last two games. They're still going to make the playoffs. But they still have a shot at the division, and because Denver lost to Jacksonville last week, they're only a game back of Denver, and I believe they played Denver the last week of the season.
Ah, okay.
So if they win out, they win the division.
And
they're only a game back right now.
With a little more help, they could potentially find their way into the one seed. It would involve the Patriots losing to the Dolphins, Jets, last couple of games of the year.
Yeah, and I don't see the Patriots losing either of those games.
I don't either, but
because those teams are bad.
But
I get it.
It's the NFL.
NFL.
Anything could happen.
Hell, the Rockets lost to the Clippers last night, so I get it.
Yeah, and the Pelicans.
Different sport, I understand, but...
And the Kings.
It's professional sports. On any given night, any given Sunday, as they say, anything can happen. But no, so the Chargers have a lot to play for, coupled with, you mentioned last season's playoff loss. For the Chargers, you know, they're especially with Jim Harbaugh, as anal as he is about certain things, and just the type of coach that he is, he wants revenge. Because they took it on the chin. Like, they really took it. And even for Herbert, if you go back to a year before that, wasn't that the year they lost to Jacksonville after they were up 27-0 or had a 27-point lead? So it hasn't been a good playoff run in the career of Justin Herbert so far. And you go back to last year, that was Harbaugh's first year with the Chargers. They get to the playoffs, and they get smacked. So, no, this game, there's a lot riding on this for them. There's a lot of motivation for the Chargers here.
So they're probably going to be giving it their all on Saturday.
I mean, wouldn't you?
I would want to if I'm come on. Jim Harbaugh, for sure. Yeah. Harbaugh, I imagine, this week has been presenting last year's Texans-Chargers game as the Alamo. Remember the Saturday where we got our asses kicked and Justin Herbert, who I think is the greatest quarterback of all time, threw four interceptions against the Texans on the road. Remember! Also, going back to more Justin Herbert playoff history, this is not related to the last Texans-Chargers game, but to what you were saying, they played that game against the Jaguars. They lost a game where Trevor Lawrence threw like four interceptions in the first quarter.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That's the Chargers, man. The Chargers in the playoffs, the Chargers as a whole, perhaps the most cursed team in the National Football League. And it's a shame because their uniforms are pretty.
They are pretty nice, especially those powder blue. Oh, man.
Ooh-wee.
That's sweet.
I even like the uniforms that they had in the late 90s and early 2000s. The Stan Humphries that dark Super Bowl
blue
era.
Yeah, I like those too. Right. That dark navy blue, whatever it was.
And Natron Means wearing that.
Means!
With the dark visor, looked so sick.
I ain't heard that name in a long time.
Hell, even with Dan Fouts, they had cool uniforms that were different versions of that. It was navy blue with gold pants. Continuing to go around the National Football League. In case you didn't know, the final AFC playoff spot is down to the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. The Bills are in, the Chargers are in, and the Jaguars are in after the San Francisco 49ers blew out the Colts on Monday night. Any concern whatsoever, Chris, that the Colts are going to catch you in the rearview mirror?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
Aren't they, what, a game and a half back of the, or 2 games back of the?
They have to win out. The Texans have to lose out for them to make the playoffs.
So, I'm not. Texans fans, don't be worried about them.
But if the Texans do lose on Saturday,
it makes it interesting.
And the Colts win, they play the Jaguars, and the Jaguars are playing because they want to make sure that they win the AFC South.
Exactly.
But there is a chance, a very slim one. I wanted to gauge your opinion on that because I was getting it from John, so you're not concerned either.
No, I would not be worried about that.
Okay. Continuing to go around the National Football League. Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboys quarterback, guaranteed a turnaround in 2026. Do you buy into his guarantee? 7-10 last year, Dallas. 6-8-1 this season. They're looking to win the last two games to avoid back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since 5-11 from 2000 through 2002. Three consecutive years of that. They've been pretty consistent, all things considered, over the last two decades.
Yeah, consistent as in they get to the divisional round and lose.
Right. A lot of fans would take that.
Or the wild card round. Yeah, but not as the Cowboys know. As much as delusional as Cowboys fans are, no. And I do not believe Dak Prescott, because here's the thing. We heard it last year, too. After the season, we'll be better next year. We heard it last year. So, no, I don't believe him.
You don't? Okay.
I don't. No. Why? Do you?
I look at the NFC East, and I think things are open enough for them to be, at the very least, playing for playoff contention, which is to say that, hey, we won't be here in this spot again next year, because that's what Dak is saying that they won't be in. I mean, is the NFC East, especially with the Eagles looking the way they are right now, looking like they might have some big changes this offseason, is it that crazy to think that the Cowboys would be back in the mix next year?
Here's the thing. They're not as good as the Eagles. They just aren't. They don't have a GM that makes as good of moves as Howie Roseman does for the Eagles. Howie Roseman, right?
Right.
Yeah. They don't have a GM, Jerry Jones, that makes those types of moves.
it's a lot of
he's
Stephen
not cutting
Jones.
Enough when it comes to but yeah but Jerry he gets the final say.
You could argue
Jerry's gonna get the final say. I don't care what you tell me. This is I'll give you a little insight to me. I was a Cowboys fan for a long time.
Oh man, yeah, you sound like it. You sound like a jaded ex-Cowboys fan right now.
Trust me, I followed this team for a very long time. I was diehard through the Romo era as a kid, the Aikman, Irvin, and all those guys, Emmitt Smith, that era. Yeah.
Why'd you walk away?
Tired of the BS.
Tired of the BS.
Nah, he woke up.
Tired. I woke up. That too. Yeah, I woke up from my slumber. But no, nothing's going to change. You know why? Jerry Jones is there. Nothing's going to change. They're not going to get back to where they think they should be as long as he's running the show. Trust me, it's not going to happen. It ain't happened in 30 years, all right?
No, it hasn't.
It ain't happened in 30 years.
I think it's easy to blame Jerry Jones for all of it, though.
I don't blame him for all of it. I don't blame... Honestly, I've never been a big Dak guy.
That's fair.
I don't think he's the guy... I mean, honestly, him and Tony Romo are kind of the same guy to me.
At times this season, though, at least statistically, Prescott has
been
great.
That's fine, though, but
they would need George Pickens next year.
Does that equal wins, though?
Their defense
stats are great.
Is the problem right now. But there's an argument to be made that the Cowboys won the Micah Parsons trade, given that Micah Parsons now has a torn ACL.
I tell you this. I think the leading sacker on the Cowboys, I believe, has 5 sacks this year. I forget who it is exactly.
I don't know who it is either, but you're probably right.
Micah Parsons had 12 and a half in like 14 games. So come on, let's stop it. Just stop that. They didn't win anything.
You could make the argument if you
want. No. There's no argument. They didn't win anything, Paul. Okay? They didn't win it. Okay? They did not win anything.
Oh, well, take a look at Micah's ACL right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris, it's torn.
That's fine.
He always getting hurt when he was playing for us.
That's fine. And he still had 12 and a half sacks.
Need a cocktail glass with an ice in it to really get the Jerry Jones effect going. Sound like I'm having a little Johnny Walker Blue right there. I mean, look, they clearly have an uphill battle. But I've expected a lot worse from the Cowboys in year one from Brian Schottenheimer. What a boring hire.
I think most people did.
That's the kind of hire the Titans make, not the Cowboys. And I think
their history, it is the kind of hire they make.
Yeah, I guess with Jason Garrett and with Wade Phillips. Yeah, damn. You're right.
Dave Campo.
I forgot about that. Chan Gailey.
Yeah, so come on. Like I told you. Yeah, that's the type of hire they make.
Damn, I'm telling you. Jerry Jones BS.
I'm telling you. Don't buy into it. Don't trust it.
Continuing to go around the National Football League.
Got me all riled up here.
No, I like it. Good. This is what we need.
Damn it.
Deshaun Watson will not play for the Cleveland Browns this year.
Who's that?
Exactly.
Who is that?
Watson. Remember him?
Never heard of him.
Never heard of that guy?
No, never.
Houston? Remember that guy?
Yeah. Deshaun
Probably
Watson.
You don't want to, but.
No, you don't want to remember it. I mean, there were some good times. These are the times we'll remember, but they will not last forever.
And they
talking
did not.
Talking about towels and massage therapists.
Oh, God.
And DMs that were not asked for. These are the times are going to change. Sorry, that was a little too much Billy Joel. So,
it's all right.
Deshaun Watson's practice window opened earlier this month. Yep. It officially closed yesterday. The Browns left him on the PUP list. Kevin Stefanski, when asked about Watson, said, quote, "He's done a great job with everything that's been asked of him. I've gotten to see him work so hard, whether it's in the training room by himself, indoors with the trainers, on the practice field. Just felt like this was the right decision for him and for us. His focus will be to continue to help this football team and continue to get healthy, get stronger, and all those types of things." End quote. I would like the Shedeur Sanders stands of the internet, the militant Shedeur Sanders stands who are Taylor Swifties adjacent in terms of their toxicity online. I would like you guys to acknowledge that the $200 million quarterback that had the owner of the Browns go to his wedding, that man has not been activated to take the job away from Shedeur Sanders down the stretch in this job that a lot of people believe Sanders is being set up to fail in.
Let me ask this question.
Hit me.
Did anyone really believe that Deshaun Watson was going to play football this year?
I thought there might be a chance. I thought there was a chance.
I did not.
I don't think Stefanski wanted it. I don't think Andrew Berry wanted it, but I think Jimmy Haslam wanted it, the owner of the Browns.
Might have. I mean, well, you're paying a guy $230 million. Guaranteed. I want him to play too. Yeah. All right? Get your ass on the field. I don't want to hear about nothing else. Are you healthy? Are you practicing? Get on the field, buddy. But no, I never thought he was going to play.
Why? The injury is...
Partially the injury.
The injury was I would say Achilles, right?
Yeah, I would say mostly the injury. But the Stefanski thing... Not wanting him to play. I didn't think Stefanski wanted him in there. I've never been a big fan of Kevin Stefanski. I think he's overrated. Stefanski.
Two-time coach of the year. I agree.
Yeah, I think he's overrated. I don't.
A lot of quarterbacks to work with. And he was at his best with Flacco.
Flacco could fling it, though.
Flacco could fling it.
I give it that.
He's considered this offensive guru, and that gets thrown and labeled. That label is attached to a lot of coaches. And I mean,
I think it's labeled to too many guys, like guru.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been a big fan. Yeah, so, but yeah, for those reasons, primarily, I did not think he was going to play. Yes, the owner wanted him out there, but I think the injury, I mean, Achilles, the injury is a hard thing to come back from. That's tough. That's not an easy get back. So, no, I'm not shocked that he's being shut down completely.
I'm not either, but I was wondering if they would try to force him back out there. And the Shedeur Sanders stance, listen, that's a little victory for you guys. They're not putting the $200 million quarterback back out there over Shedeur. Although I think the Shedeur Sanders fans, I think they want him to feel like, they want Shedeur to be oppressed because they like being angry all the time. They really think like...
Yeah. I think it's funny. At times he's shown flashes, but if you really just look overall, I mean, he hasn't played great.
No, he hasn't played great.
He has not played
great. He's saying all the right things, though, and he's not in a great situation. I'll give him a lot of credit for that. He's been giving answers that I like, especially because in the court of public opinion, just because of the draft and leading up to it and how arrogant he was, there's a lot of people that don't like him because of that. But he's been saying all the right things since being on the team.
You know, the draft thing...
It's crazy that he fell that far. But
that's the past now. Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that. Like, move on. Let's move. I've moved on from that.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, even if he wasn't going to be a first-rounder, yeah, he should have been a second- or third-round pick.
Right.
I get that, but... It's done now. You can't change that. Now, the fact that he went to a team where a coach didn't really want him, it's unfortunate.
For sure.
But it's on him now to go out there and show them that, okay, you may not want me, but this is my audition for everybody else.
Yep.
It's on him now.
I think
it's on him now.
He's done everything he should.
Mostly on him.
Right. It's situational, of course.
Stefanski still has a hand in it, obviously. He's the head coach.
But he's doing everything he can in his power right now. And I'll give him credit. I actually want to see him succeed. I just hate his fans. They're just the worst.
You don't like his fans. I'd like to see him. Our boy Bajani, he's a Shedeur guy.
Oh, God.
Bajani's a Shedeur guy. I'm not saying he's a stan, but he's rooting for him. We've talked about it.
There's nothing wrong with rooting for Sanders. It's his fan. There are some of his fans, though, you just dislike him so much, you want to root against him. Try not to do that. Just ignore those people.
Just ignore those
people. And you'll feel a lot better.
And they're mostly on social media.
Yes, for
yeah,
sure.
They are.
Which is it's a hellscape as it is. He's Chris Partee. I'm Paul Gallant. We are in for Reggie and John in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Colin Neal. Working so hard behind the glass in Fort Figgy Fig. Up next, we'll continue this question. Does last year's Texans-Chargers playoff game still matter? 713-572-4610. And, my goodness, if this guy's able to go on Sunday for the Houston Texans, give him gold star for toughest player on the team. We'll explain why next. Stay put.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
What is this from?
Come on, man.
Is this Nightmare After Christmas or what is this?
Paul Gallant, Chris Partee in the loop with Carl Nealon for Figgy Fig.
Home Alone, come on now. Oh, Home Alone music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Figgy, man, it's been so long since I watched that movie. Or movies.
Yeah.
Ages.
Do you recognize Home Alone 2?
What do you mean, like?
Do you respect it as a movie? Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. But, I mean, again, it's been years. I mean, but obviously the original was the best. That's just my opinion.
The original one is number one. I don't remember the second one at all, except for Trump's in it. That's all I know. That's all I remember about
Down the
it.
Hall, to the left.
Right. And then there's that one lady with the pigeons who he befriends for some reason. His parents need Child Protective Services called on him.
CPS probably should have been called more than once.
Right. And listen, you know, I know that we live in a society where gun control, it's a polarizing topic, but had Kevin McAllister had a gun, movie's over. They're fine. Had in the movie,
you just ruined the whole
Gremlins. In the movie,
oh my God, Gremlins!
In the movie Gremlins, had anyone, literally anyone, used a gun had on the Gremlins, gun. They would have been fine. Colin, instead, the Colin Gremlins had, are pulling the guns on the people.
Have you ever seen Gremlins?
A long time ago.
Watched
I
watched it for the first
remember.
Time in a while last night. Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
It is. Yeah,
it is.
I remember it as a kid, and like, I haven't watched it in ages. Yeah. It's very, I liked it.
It's very interesting when you're young, and then you watch these movies again when you're older.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Anyway.
It can be so bad it's good sometimes.
So this is the Home Alone music, and now you know.
Yeah.
Took me a while to get there, though, because the somewhere in my memory part, it kicks in a little bit later. All right, so Texans Chargers last year, 32-12, the Texans won in the playoffs. It was an ass-kicking. Once the Texans eventually got going, there was no looking back. The defense was great. They made Justin Herbert look very mortal. They've had a lot of success against great quarterbacks in the D'Amico Ryans era. I think for the Chargers, there's certainly an element of, and you're hearing it from them this week, looking back at last year and avenging what happened last January. As far as the Texans are concerned, there are still some things to clean up. Not a must-win game necessarily, but this will be a playoff-style game on Saturday. There are some questions about what's going on the offensive line. You have injuries for a couple of Texans offensive linemen. Trent Brown injured his left knee against Vegas. He is day-to-day per a league source. That's from Aaron Wilson of Channel 2. He's also dealing with an ankle injury. Meanwhile, Ariante Ursery might be the toughest dude on the Texans, which is saying something given how many tough players they have. He broke his thumb against the Raiders. He underwent surgery Tuesday. He's had metal hardware inserted to aid the healing process. Ugh. Once his hand heals, he might play with a protective club on his hand. He is currently expected to return this season. So maybe he's not able to go on Saturday, but I mean, we've seen Justin Herbert have surgery in the middle of a week and then play that week. Could Ariante Ursery have surgery on his thumb and potentially play Saturday?
Well, he's got a bionic hand now, for the most part. Got metal in his hand.
Hell yeah, brother.
Put him out. I mean, he doesn't need to play this week. If he's not ready to go. I mean, you don't want to take a chance. Although, he's got to have a club on, you said, or a cast, whatever it is. So, he'd probably be fine. But you want this guy for the postseason run.
Yes.
I get that this is basically like a playoff game, but you want him for when the one and done potentially is in effect. You really want him for that. So if he needs to rest for a week, okay, that's fine.
Very curious as to what the configuration will be given that when Trent Brown went down in this game.
That didn't help.
On Saturday, well, what they did was they put Jarrett Patterson in at guard and they moved Tytus Howard out to where Trent Brown is at right tackle. So I am curious as to what they do. Here is D'Amico Ryans yesterday when asked about the status of his starting tackles.
Of course you had to ask that question.
Gotta check you, man.
Yeah, always. You gotta keep me on there, right? No, we'll see how it goes. Of course, we know, everybody knows, we're banged up, you know, at tackle. And we'll see. We're on a short week here. We'll see how that pans out for us.
I got to give D'Amico Ryans credit because he's gotten a lot better at seeming unaffected and unannoyed with us media yokels when being asked questions. And I think it had to do with some of the what was going on earlier in the year. He's like, why are you guys always asking about the negative? Why not ask about the positive?
Because that's what gets us clicks.
Right. You good? Remember that? You good? You good? iconic moment. But since then,
they're always good.
Since then, he has been very charming while at the podium. And right there, oh, you got to ask me that question about the injuries. He's always going to say guys are day-to-day. But it is intriguing to see what will happen as far as the Houston Texans on their offensive line. Brown and Ursary did not practice yesterday. Neither did Kamari Lassiter, who is expected to go. Azeez Al-Shaair, Dalton Schultz, Woody Marks, all back at practice as well for the Texans. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. We do have a phone call. It's 713-572-4610.
Get him in.
Our friend Dave. Dave, what's going on, bro?
What up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing
happy
well.
Holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa and all.
Merry
happy
Christmas.
New Year to all.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All
yes,
those things.
All the goodness.
All the goodness. Festivus.
Now, yes. Yes. Xmas. And your friend over here says that he was a Cowboys fan. I used to be a Cowboy fan too. I
See?
Feel the same way that you do.
You know what I'm saying?
About the Cowboys. But I'm a Texans fan now. I'm a former Cowboys fan. Now I'm a Texans fan, and I believe that the Texans should go all the way. What I mean by going all the way is that, I guess I talked to Paulie yesterday or the day before about this. Jacksonville. I hate the Jaguars. I hate them like the bubonic plague. And Jacksonville.
Understandable.
If they reach the AFC Championship game and play the Houston Texans, I would love it. I will love it because I'm sick and tired of NFL people, NFL national pundits telling us, "Oh, Trevor Lawrence is the greatest quarterback since Dan Marino."
Dave, appreciate the phone call. I don't think anyone's saying that. I don't think anyone's saying that.
Not anymore.
Trevor Lawrence is the
not anymore.
Now look,
one point there was a lot of buzz and hype around him, but he's disappointed over the years.
It would be very annoying if the Jaguars made it to the AFC Championship game. I agree with that because Jaguars fans have taken on the mindset of their head coach and of every single Jaguar player that's been in front of a microphone,
Duval.
Where they believe they are being disrespected like crazy. Though
I've seen that, I've seen the players talk about it too.
Right? Remember the comments that were made last week by Sean Payton talking about, hey, for a small market.
Call them a small market.
Listen, they are.
They are a small market.
Jacksonville is a tiny, population-wise, it's not a big area. As far as geographical size, it is actually massive. It's one of the bigger cities in the country.
But it's one of the smaller media markets.
Correct.
It is.
Yeah.
NFL markets, whatever,
They barely have a team, and a lot of people are wondering if they're going to move to England, given they play two games a year there.
Exactly.
And, I mean, they got that – have you seen – there's this guy who's a Jaguars super fan. I forget what his name is.
Is it UCF Jaguar?
No, it's not that guy. No. That guy, bless his heart. No, there's another fellow. This person has a British accent.
Huh.
This person dresses up like a Jaguar.
Okay.
He has a top hat. I forget his name, but if that
I feel
person,
like I've seen this guy on social media.
There's nothing I hate more than these limeys, these Brits that are all of a sudden like becoming a part of the NFL's fan base. Sorry, America first. I'm America first when it comes to football fans.
America.
Yeah, I don't want none of these foreigners. I don't want none of them. They can get out. I don't want none of them. We're playing games in Brazil. What the hell is that? I don't know where that is.
Brazil.
We're playing games in Germany. My grandfather fought in World War II. We're playing games in Spain. My grandfather fought in World War II. You know who didn't fight in World War II? Spain. Neutral. You know what's his?
Spain was...
Spain
maybe.
Was neutral.
Yeah.
They're kind of fascist, actually.
I mean, they did allow the Germans to practice their bombing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like Spain.
Neutral.
Wrong side.
You're on the watching list. You're on the watching. We got another phone call here. It would suck if the Jaguars made it to the
lighten up. Lighten up today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen. Once the rabbit hole is
right.
Is dove into it.
Once you dive into the rabbit hole, there's no coming out.
The next thing you hear is bad grammar from me. Southside Al's got a thought on the Texans.
What up, Southside?
Hey, what's up, Chris, man?
Yo.
Hey, man. Hey, happy holidays, y'all, man.
Yeah.
Say, this is what I want to say, man. I just hope all these fans was calling in about the last game, Chris. You know, we talked about this last night. Look,
yeah.
They scored 40, wasn't enough. Come back and won. And if we'd have kept driving at the end, we could have put up more points. This is the hand you deal with. Every season is different. From C.J. Stroud first year to the second year, you got new line, you got new coordinator. The plays and the playbook this guy have, this is what they've been practicing on. So I don't get what people feel like. It's organized football. You have a coach, you got organized plays. This is what's going on. So hopefully, and Chris, I want to get your take on this here. Whatever happened with the Texans, and just say it kind of go not like it's supposed to, I've been thinking it's a scenario that the offensive coordinator could actually may lose his job. And what I'm saying is the expectations is so high, and when you got a team with a defense like this, Super Bowl caliber defense, and the plays on offense, everybody's making noise, and I know these guys hear that stuff. And the hamper, the thing of it is, you're not coaching up your offense to seal a deal in case something goes sour. We know it ain't going to be the defense. So what is your take on this guy, what he's facing right now with all the criticism, and it have to seal a deal? Can that bring up some eyebrows from Nick Caserio, but all the way to who he hired, with these McNairs stepping in there saying, wait a minute, ooh, we could have actually did something here, but obviously the tape shows he's not aggressive enough to open up the playbook. Great show, guys. I hang up and listen.
Thanks. Appreciate you, Southside. Unless there's a scenario where there's a wild card exit by the Texans and the offense does absolutely nothing and say they get blown out, even let's say it's 24-3. And the defense is just on the field way too long. The offense has nothing. Maybe there's a chance that Caserio and the crew, they may rethink what they've done by hiring Nick Caley. Anything short of that, and I don't see something like that happen, anything short of that, personally, I'm not an advocate for getting rid of a guy after 1 year when you just got rid of a guy after 2 years.
Right.
I'm just, because now you got a revolving door at offensive coordinator, and who does that not help? Your quarterback, your young quarterback, C.J. Stroud, who you're about to pay a lot of money to.
Right.
I'm just not a fan of that. So, no, I don't really see – I think there's a very slim chance that Nick Caley is not back next season.
I'm with you there.
Under most scenarios.
In fact, there's somebody else who I think that the Texans would perhaps move on from. I'll give you that on the other side before what's popping next. He is Chris Partee. I'm Paul Gallant. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
On the other side, I said there's somebody else that's going to get got before Nick Caley. Because I'm with you, Chris. I think you give him a second year at the very least.
Yeah.
And I do think that in some ways they have gotten better as far as offensive play calling as the season's gone along. I think the offensive line has gotten better as well. First guy to go, say the Texans have a very disappointing performance in the playoffs, is Nick Caserio. It's Caserio first.
Think so.
Yeah, it's Caserio first. Mm. If they do a bad job offensively, specifically in the playoffs, I think that the Texans ownership, if they're going to get rid of anybody, it would be Caserio first.
Huh.
And then they maybe look for somebody that D'Amico Ryans wants, because Caserio's hands are all over the offense,
yeah,
for better or for worse, with the offensive line evaluations. And sure, Caserio does have some hits. I think some people are perhaps a little bit too cut and dry, not nuanced when it comes to their dislike of Nick Caserio and everything else Patriots related, because they're just thinking about Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, and they've got some of the after effects of that. You know, the stench in the room, it still hasn't cleared all the way out. Yeah. The Febreze ain't working.
How do you think fans would feel about that, though?
Moving on from Nick Caserio?
Yeah.
I don't think they would be sad.
You don't think so?
No. I feel like fans generally want somebody to get got when things do not go according to plan.
That's true.
And last year, I mean, who really got got? They moved Chris Strausser, basically was out. Bobby Slowick,
yeah,
got canned.
I mean, Slowick got the brunt of the blame.
Right.
Last season.
But look where we are now. And I mean, it's not like things got better without Bobby Slowick.
In terms of the offense, yeah.
So who would be next? The person who chose Nick Caley went to the same school as Nick Caley. That's Nick Caserio. John Carroll guys, you know? So
I think if Caley's back for another year, which I think he will be, I think Caserio will still be there. And then if things don't change again offensively, because we expect expected the defense to be good coming in. Maybe not this good, but definitely top five. I thought they should be top five coming into the season. But if the offense can't get much better next year than they've been this year, then yeah, there probably need to be some changes offensively.
I wonder what they will do. That is, I think, the way it happens. If they lose in the first round of the playoffs.
That's big, though, man. Caserio, that's a big move there.
Yeah, but look, they're not afraid.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's a big move.
This is an organization, and they deserve credit for this. I know a lot of people get mad about this. Oh, my gosh, they're firing guys year in, year out. There's no stability. No, this is proof they got money. If you're firing a coach after 1 year, sure, maybe the guy didn't get enough of a chance. If you're talking about David Culley or Lovie Smith, both of whom were boring hires from the get-go and didn't really seem like there was a lot of upside with either of them, especially with Culley. I truly do not understand the Culley hire. But they moved on from those guys quickly because they have money. Other organizations would stick with them for a little bit of time because they want to make sure that every single dollar that they gave to these coaches, that every single dollar is earned. Exactly. You know, the Titans would not do that that way. The Bengals would not do it that way.
The Bengals, they're notoriously cheap. Right.
The pores of the NFL don't do what the Texans do. They deserve credit for that at the very least, even if you are frustrated about the fact they've never made it to an AFC championship game. What's popping? Tonight's Powerball drawing, $1.7 billion. Chris Partey, do you find yourself buying Powerball tickets when they get to a certain number or Mega Millions tickets?
I wish I could tell you that I do, but I don't.
You wish that you say you could you that
I
you do.
I wish I could say that I do, but I do not.
I think it's smart that you don't.
That
do
I
it.
Don't.
Yeah,
because I'm not gonna win.
No one's gonna win. I'm the idiot who's going to on his way home get that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get a lottery ticket, and I'm gonna baby, if you're listening right now, the girlfriend, this will be one of the stocking stuffers. We will have a Powerball ticket that I will wrap up in our stocking.
But here's the thing.
Just one, though?
Just maybe we'll do two.
Here's the thing. If in a couple weeks we never see Paul again, we know why.
Yeah, man, you probably shouldn't have said anything.
We know why. Paul went off and bought an island somewhere for him and his girlfriend.
Well, I have no issue with people knowing. But
no, I'm just saying.
Because I will not hear from you, because I will go off the grid.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If we don't see Paul again ever in life, within the next week or so, we know what happened.
I'll change my name.
He won the Powerball.
I'm going to change my name to something.
To something.
Yeah. What would be your other name?
My middle name is Maurice. I've always wanted to go by Maurice, so I'm just going to
say. So why don't you?
Maurice.
Just go out. Just do it.
I used to not like Maurice. It's too late in the game. I'm established as Paul Gallant.
You're established. I get it.
If I start going Maurice Gallant.
What are you
trying to prove here?
Paul Maurice Gallant, that has a good ring to it. Mm-hmm. Like the whole name?
Oui, c'est français.
That has a good name, a ring to it. I like that.
C'est français. Je suis un peu français. Je n'étudie pas le français depuis j'ai 19 ans.
Yeah, what he said.
You got that, Chris?
Those were actual French words.
What he said? They sounded like it. I don't know what he said, but yeah, what he said.
Oui. J'aime beaucoup le Texans de Houston. Uh-huh. What's Poppin' continues, $1.7 billion Powerball tonight. Guess how many viewers the Jake Paul fight with Anthony Joshua had on Netflix? This depresses me, Chris.
Oh, yeah, 100 million or something like that?
33 million.
Okay. I was exaggerating.
Get a life. Get a life. Oh, I want to see a Paul brother get knocked out. You're doing exactly what he wants you to do.
Did you see his face afterward?
Yeah, he broke his jaw. Did an interview with his brother on the, Logan Paul. And he was talking, Logan. And I guess the jaw was post-surgery?
Yeah.
Actually, he was able to speak. Good for him.
I mean, his face was like huge. Oh, yeah. It was huge.
It looked ugly.
Oh, my God. Hey, Yankee got a nice face. Did anyone expect him to win this fight, though? Did you actually expect him to win this fight or even come close to winning it?
I thankfully did not know of its existence until
I
saw that Johnny Manziel missed his appearance for College Game Day on Saturday and that he'd been at that fight on Friday, right?
Of course.
Yeah. That was when I was aware of it. I actually did a very good job of staying unaware of this.
I knew about it. I didn't watch it, but I knew about it.
Abomination, no. It's an abomination.
I knew about it. I figured if it wasn't fixed, I figured he'd get knocked out, you know. Joshua let him hang around for a while, and then he, you know, knocked him out like he should. Yeah. This is a world-class, whatever you think about him against real boxers, that's fine. He's a world-class heavyweight fighter. There's no way he was losing that fight. No way. And he's not a grandfather.
Yeah, that's
he's not a grandfather,
it's not,
okay?
It's not Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
It would be funny if the fight was supposed to be scripted and he just went off script.
That would be hilarious, but I think we would have heard about that already.
Yeah,
probably. I feel like we would have heard about that. Maybe that would have been an excuse.
Jake Paul would probably posted a crying video on YouTube about it.
Here's a question. Does he fight any more legit boxers that are actually of a decent age?
No.
After this?
I think the novelty is gone. Now that he's lost, does anyone care?
I've never really
But cared. You know what? He has a fan base, though. He has a huge fan base.
Of course,
they're gonna watch whatever he does. Trust me. Ugh. Now it may not be 33 million; it might be 20 million.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But Netflix will take that.
No, they will.
They'll take it.
It's bottom barrel content.
Yeah,
Netflix.
Doesn't matter.
Including a terrible slate of football games tomorrow. Paul, you sound like an Ebenezer Scrooge out here. Whatever.
But hey,
just a jaded 36-year-old man.
If you can't watch Netflix, you can listen right here on Sports Radio 610. Because those games...
They'll probably sound better than it looks.
All three will be on our station.
There you go, Chris.
I sound horrible saying
it. What a company, man.
But, you know.
What a company, man.
Got to throw that out there.
They're still going to make you take the training to get text line access.
Oh, my God. Come on, Paul. Don't do me like that.
We both apparently...
Oh, my God. Hey, they're doing us real dirty, though. Chris, Colin, they're doing us real dirty. We're trying to get text line access.
And we got to take a training module. The lady just sent us an email. Like, you have to complete your training. Like, hey, the training's a 20-minute video.
Hey,
and by the way, last week I spent 6 hours watching training videos. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know that I shouldn't sexually harass people. I should need to watch a 6-hour effing video and watch the whole way through to determine that.
Oh, my God.
And they give you, like, these tests at the end of it. And you don't have to watch the video to actually pass these
just
tests.
Just go.
Whatever.
Do the test.
Yeah, this is our onboarding process. This is the life of a part-timer. What's Poppin' continues. So, Travis Kelce got the most Pro Bowl votes in the NFL for a second year in a row. Talk about a powerful fan base, the Swifties.
Hey, telling you.
They could have stormed the Capitol and successfully. Just saying. They've got that kind of energy, that kind of passion. Travis Kelce gets the most Pro Bowl votes in the NFL, so he is one of the two AFC tight ends. The other one, Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers has opted out, which means... that Tyler Warren, Colts rookie tight end, who is the AFC Pro Bowl alternate, should be a Pro Bowl tight end. Now the question is, when does Travis Kelce opt out? And if he opts out, does Dalton Schultz, Texans tight end, who some would argue John Lopez definitely did, was snubbed in a Pro Bowl nominee given all the receptions he had last season, leads the AFC in tight end receptions, would he get the nod for the Pro Bowl?
He should. Will he? I'm going to say yes. I'll say yes. The Texans are one of the better teams in the AFC, and he's leading the AFC in receptions. He has more than Kelce, who was the number one guy. I've never been a fan of the fan vote for All-Star games and for Pro Bowl.
Anything.
I've never been a fan of it. Never.
There was a time.
Not once.
A couple of weeks ago, Chris, where my girlfriend sent me a text, and she said, hey, can you text this number and text the word Alex 10 times to this number? And I was like, why? And she said, just do
you
it.
Had to ask why,
just
though.
Just do it. Just do it. And then eventually, a couple days later, I figured out why I did it. Yeah, of course. I love her. I love. I'll do what she wants. But I was like, what am I voting for?
Paul, you're a good man.
I voted for Alex Earle to win on Dancing with the Stars, and those 10 votes did not help. And now I feel like a traitor, seeing as
You said they did not help?
She didn't win. She came in second. And I feel like a traitor, given that I work at the flagship station for the Houston Texans, and that she and Braxton Berrios, Texans wide receiver, broke up. So I feel like I did Braxton Berrios dirty, and I didn't know what I was doing.
You did,
But this is going.
You did him dirty.
Going back to what you were talking about, it is lame that you can just vote for something.
I
10
don't
times
like it,
and you don't even know necessarily what you're voting for.
I can't stand it. Never been a fan.
It's a Travis Sham mockery.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Is a Pro Bowler, for sure.
Mm.
Alas, earwax.
Go ahead, Swifties.
I just think that if they're doing all this Pro Bowl voting with the fans, they need to at least have another kind of X factor into the voting.
It's fans.
It's literally just a popularity contest.
Well, yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, it's not actually highlighting how good, you know, the players are. Like, there's some great players that didn't get enough Pro Bowl, like, as many Pro Bowl nominations.
Maybe they should have, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just at the end of the day, a popularity contest. That's why I stick with all pros.
I mean, all pros, even if you're second team all pro, that's like the ultimate acknowledgement.
But the interesting thing about the all pro vote is that you can get one vote as a second team all pro and be a second team all pro. There's a weird way that the all pro voting is done where it's not necessarily a reflection of everyone covering it. Anyway, he is Chris Partee. I'm Paul Gallant. We're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You've also got Colin Neal in for Figgy Fig. That is what's popping. Coming up next, is the Rocket season over? What's going on? Plus, do you like that the NFL has found its way onto Christmas, competing with the National Basketball Association? Are there too many sports on Christmas Day? All of that's on the table. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Stay there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.